ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And I want us to realize that God intended that all men everywhere be saved. And sometimes we forget that it was all in the plan of God, the mind of God, that somebody would be saved and be saved tonight. I remember some 30 years ago or so, when I was a little much younger than I am now, that I used to enjoy all the good life of partying and dancing. And I might look like a dancer today because I put on a little weight. But if you see me in my day, Brother Mitchell, I could do all the latest dances. And if you ask me the latest songs, I could sing them as well. But little did I know that somewhere in the mind of God, He wanted Derek Alfonso Brown to start to preach the Word of God. And it is God's intention tonight that as we listen to the Word, that somewhere, somehow, that Word will reach to somebody's heart and they will be saved tonight. The topic assigned to me tonight is, in your salvation, no plan, no cross. The Bible said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the dynamite of God. It is that which God uses to blow out the sins out of our lives. And sin is so dangerous to us that God had to find something more powerful than just what we are accustomed to. And so He said that this word, this gospel, it is that dynamite that is able to explode in our lives and to destroy the sin that is involved in our lives. It is God's purpose that man needs to be redeemed by Him. The Bible said that sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the garden of good and evil thou shalt not freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely what? Die." And somewhere in Adam and Eve's mind, church, they felt that they should not listen to the Almighty God. And Adam was paying attention to his wife, and as we men often do, Brother Mitchell, that sometimes we listen to our wives, and every now and again, we might go a little astray. Say amen, all gentlemen and elves. What happened, ladies? But every now and again, we go a little astray. And Adam, for some reason, he listened to his wife that day. And when God spoke to them, He spoke to Adam and He says, "Thou shalt not eat of this tree." And Adam listened to his wife that day. I don't know what she promised him, because sometimes, gentlemen, when our wives are in a certain position and they whisper in our ears, sometimes they get us to do things that we would not normally do. And maybe that day, church, maybe that day Adam's wife, maybe she just put her arms around him, and maybe she just whispered in his ears. And somehow, church, he disobeyed God because of that day, church. And somehow, he forgot that God had said, "Thou shalt not." And many of us, church, sometimes we forget the "thou shalt not." And for that moment, church, when we forget the "thou shalt not," we get ourselves in problems. And on that day, church, Adam and Eve did not realize the magnitude of their problem. And sometimes sin have a way, church, of deceiving us into thinking that it's all right to just do this one little sin and we might just get away with it, church. And Adam and Eve thought for a moment that if they ate the fruit of that tree, that somehow everything will be okay, church. But God had said, "Thou shall not." And if God says, "Thou shall not," and you feel in your mind, and you are convinced by somebody of your own mind that you shall go ahead and do what God says thou shalt not do, then the consequence is coming. And on that day, church, because of that disobedience to God, sin entered the world. And because of that disobedience, sin entered the world, and all of us, church, became sinners in the sight of God. But, church, we serve a loving God. You know, there's sometimes people do us wrong, Brother Fisher. We want to get back at them, church. And if sometimes we can just kill them if we have to. Amen, somebody. We kill them, church. Because sometimes the pain that they cause us is just too great. And we want to hurt them. But God is not like that, church. Our God is a loving God. And because He's a loving God, church, He had a plan to save us, church. He had this plan to redeem us. And so by the time we get over to James chapter 3 and verse 15, there was a plan that God was putting in motion to redeem man. Amen. And so God says, church, to the devil, the serpent, that Jesus Christ, the seed, was coming. And He says, you're going to bruise His heel. But He is going to bruise your head. I know when you get this head hit in a church, all kind of things can happen, church. Because when you get hit in your head, you sometimes turn fool. And when you get hit in the head, sometimes you drop dead, church. But God says that Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He was going to bruise, He was going to hit Satan in His head, and something serious was about to happen, church. Because God was planning to redeem us, to buy us back, to get us back into His fold. Now, church, that's the God that we serve. Amen. He never planned to leave us alone, church. Because God loved us so much that the Bible says He sent His only Son to die for us, church. Isn't that a wonderful God? Amen. Isn't that a God that we ought to praise, church? Amen. Somebody say amen, church. We're not talking too loud tonight in the church. Amen. Because this God is a wonderful God. Because, church, if He wasn't so wonderful, if He wasn't so loving, church, He would have left us to die in our sins. But He had a plan to redeem man. And so when we get to Genesis, church, from Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15 onward, you know what God was doing in the Old Testament, church? Because many times, Brother Fisher, we read the Old Testament scriptures and we feel as if they're just there because God liked to tell stories. You know, church? They're just in the Bible because God just liked to tell stories. But that's not the reason why the Old Testament is there, church. The Old Testament is there because God had a plan in mind. And so God was bringing a nation called Israel, which Christ would come through. And so God was telling the story of Israel because God knew that there was a coming Savior. And so the Old Testament, church, is the story of the coming of the Messiah. Did you know that, church? That was all about in the church. So when you start reading from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 and onwards, all the way to Malachi, church, it's all about the coming of Christ because God planned to redeem man. Why? Because of sin. Because sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 verse number 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you, have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not, what? Hear you. In other words, your God is saying, all of us that are guilty of sin, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, sin puts a barrier between you and the Almighty God. And the only way you can come in contact with the Almighty God is if you remove that wall that is standing between you and the Almighty God. And some of us here tonight have already removed that wall that stood between us some long, long years ago, church. And I remember, church, 25 long years ago, April 17th, at 1 p.m. at the Mona Church of Christ building, I was baptized into Christ, and that wall was removed, Brother Fisher. And let me tell you something, church. That wall of sin was removed. And it stood no more, church. And because that wall was removed, I have a relationship with the Almighty God. And on the day that your wall If it's not here to move, church, you have a relationship with God because sin is standing in the way. And church, let me tell you something, church. When we have this gospel meeting, people feel as if a gospel meeting is only for non-Christians. Church, do you know today, in this room tonight, church, that there are some Christians in this room, that there's a wall standing between them and the Almighty God. And that wall is called what? Sin. It's still there in the church. And if you don't remove it, you're going to go to hell just as the sinner man, church. Because if that wall of sin is preventing you from reaching God, you have a problem, church. You have a problem. And so don't feel you're coming here tonight to hear a message about some sinner man somewhere being converted to Christ. If you are in sin, living in sin as a Christian, the wall is still there. And you have to find a way, church, to remove that wall. And sometimes we come to church and we sit here sometimes in these gospel meetings and we feel as if the message is not for us. Amen, church. The message is for all of us tonight. All of us. And so when we come into the house of God and we listen to each other, the gospel is there to save every single one of us tonight, church. And so God had a plan to redeem us, church. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse number 23. Now, is there a need for man's redemption? Is there that need, church? You know, Romans chapter 7 verse 24. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul says, O wretched man that I am. Church, Paul looked at his life and he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this death? Church, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you're living in sin, the question that you need to ask is, who shall deliver you from this body of death? You see yourself as this wretched man and you're asking the question, who is going to deliver me from this body of death? Because church, if we're not in a right relationship with God, we are what? We are in death, church. And that means, church, that we are separated from the Almighty God. And church, none of us want to be separated from the Almighty God. Now, so when that cry went out, O wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? God heard some thousands of years before, and he put that plan called Jesus Christ. You see, we cannot find redemption through our riches. You know that, church? Because sometimes people fear this. We know, because we have money, we are all right with God. You know, a gentleman that rent us our property that we have the church building in. And I invite him to church all the time, in a brother. He has never come once. And he said, he told me when he was renting us the building, and we have been there now about 4 years, and he has never, ever, not once, has he raised that rent. Not once. And do you know why, church? Because he feels that he needs a church on that property. Because in his mind, church, if that church is there, he's going to be blessed by God. Are you with me, church? And so he tells me that, listen, he says, oh, you know what, I don't have to come to church. All I need to do is just go home and watch my television set, and I'm okay with God. Because the church is on my building. No, no laughing, but it's a serious thing. Yeah? So, you know, but I'm grateful, you know. I'm not complaining. I am not complaining. And I wish that when he dies, he will just will that to us. I'm not complaining. But is he wrong? Yeah. Your money cannot get you there, church. Now turn your Bible to Psalms 49. Brother Fisher, have that verse on me. Psalms 49. I want verse number 6 to verse number 8, I think.
They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves of the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother.
They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches.
None of them can by any means,
redeem his brother.
Nor give to God
a ransom for him. Well, Brother Fisher, in those days, you know what used to happen, church? In those times of slavery, if a man wanted to buy somebody's freedom, they would purchase him back, and he's free again, church. And sometimes the cost for that would be about 30 pieces of silver, the price for Jesus Christ, the betrayer. You hear me, church? And so God says, listen, if you have the multitude of riches, if you trust in them, church, and you boast yourself in them, none of them can redeem thy brother. So if you want to buy back, it's what the word redeem means, your brother, all the wealth in the world just can't do it, church. Because the next verse says, it is too costly. Church, follow me now, church. It is too costly. You hear me, church? No, but you know what I'm church? It might be too costly for you, but it's not too costly for God. You follow me, church? Because God didn't have to use money to buy us back, to redeem us back, church. But God sent his only son to die on the cross so that you and I can have what? Eternal life. And so God used his son, Jesus Christ, as the ultimate sacrifice. The most precious of all that he had, so that you and I could be bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Church, the blood of animals, Hebrews 10 and verse 4, could not take away the sins that we have. It couldn't take it away, church. And for years, the Jews, they would sacrifice to the animal. Can you imagine today, in today's economy, church, that you give up all these goats and you carry them into Brother Mitchell's building and Brother Mitchell stand up here, Brother Fisher, right beside him. And Brother Allen sometimes will be invited down to assist. And I don't like blood in a church. I used to kill chicken one long time. But anyway, but church, and Brother Mitchell has the sharpest knife. I can't imagine Brother Mitchell. Brother Mitchell, I don't have any knife, Brother Mitchell. Brother Mitchell gets very nervous up here. Brother Mitchell, I don't have any knife. But I was just holding his head. For example. So, Brother Mitchell, don't move. So, can you imagine, Brother Fisher? You and Brother Mitchell up here as the high priest. And you're just cutting the neck of the goats. Can you imagine how much blood and the gore and people will get kind of sick in their stomach because they could not stand the sight of all these animals being killed? Just imagine that, church. But they had to do it because God said so. They had to do it, church. But thanks be to God, Brother Mitchell, you don't have to do that. You no longer have to worry about which knife is sharper this morning. You no longer have to worry if you have to sit down and sharp the knife back and front. You don't have to worry about that. You have to worry about whoever cleaned this building. After you have splattered all the blood around, who's going to clean it up afterwards? Because you no longer have to kill the animals to have sacrifice for your sins. Because Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid the price. And if he paid the price, church, we have nothing else to worry about. Because Christ redeemed us with his own blood. We cannot redeem ourselves. As Jeremiah says, 10:23, O Lord, I know That is not the way of man. It's not in himself to direct his own steps. Can you imagine, church? Just think about this, brother Mitchell. Can you imagine if God had allowed us to direct our own steps? Now, follow me now, church. Think about this for a moment, church. God has not allowed us to direct our own steps. He has not in the church. And just think of all the different directions that we are going today in this modern world. And he has left us the direction. Then suppose he did not leave us the direction. Can you imagine, church, the confusion? Because if we confuse now, suppose we never have this. Suppose we never have this. I you know, we're really confused these days, isn't it? Yeah, man. I was reading a little thing just yesterday. And this gentleman said that there's absolutely no plan of salvation in the Bible. And anyone that teaches that is not teaching from the Bible. And there's no such thing as a plan of salvation. Now, if we're confused before, because in the religious world today in the church, there is so much confusion, yet still, we all are preaching from the same book. Well, I would hope so anyway. Or maybe it's a case, church, we are like the Ethiopian eunuch. That we are reading, but we're not understanding what we read. And many of our religious leaders need someone to explain to them what they are reading. But you know, I can't read, I don't understand it. Yeah. But God, with Christ came to redeem man with his blood. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now the Bible says that he came to what? What he came to the church? To redeem us from our sins and to purify for himself a special people. Now, church, wouldn't you like to be a part of that special group? Church? If you are here tonight and you are not a Christian, then you need to be a part of that special people. Because in the special people there in the church, I want to be there. You with me, church? You ever go to stadium? I love football, so I go to the regular boy game. And you know, there's a section called VIP. And sometime ago, I'm sitting right behind the VIP. I'm in a VIP, and I come in a VIP on that day. But I would love to be where? In the VIP. I would love one day somebody would just say, "Brother Brown, come sit beside me in the VIP." I'm in a VIP now. Everybody look at him. Because you're special. Remember that? Yeah, man, you're special. That's what Christ is saying. Isn't it? You are in the VIP section when you become a child of God. You're special. And if you're not in the VIP section, the very important people, if you're not in that section, Brother Casey, you're not too special. And that's why you're ticket them cheap on everybody else. So, you don't believe it, church? Do you know it costs nothing to sin? You know that? It costs nothing to sin. Just sin if you want to sin. But it costs something to live righteous for God. It costs something, you know. Because many times we have to give up so much to live right for God. We have to deny ourselves to live right for God. And so, I want to be a part, church, of that very important people. I want to be in that section, church. And God says that Jesus Christ has redeemed us through his blood, and he has put us into that category of very, very important people. So if you're not in that category tonight, sir, I encourage you to get into the category of very important people. Now, Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Church, if you feel in your mind that you don't need to obey the plan of salvation, then you cannot be in obedience to Christ. Because, you see, if it's by the authority of Christ that you are saved, and if it's through his authority, he has laid out certain steps, certain plans for us to follow, which we'll get to later on, then if we're not following those plans, church, and we feel as if we can divert and we can take another corner if we want and go on a different path, they were not following the plan that he laid out for us. Matthew 28 and verse 18, he says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Does he have the power to do it, church? Yeah. And so, and he says, listen, because I have the power, I am giving you, my disciples, to do what? Go. Go. And that's what this meeting is about, in the church. It's part of the going and preaching Jesus Christ so that men and women can be saved tonight. Now, when one is saved, one puts himself in Christ. And the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 1, there is no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ. And I don't want to be condemned, church. Do you want to be condemned, church? Do you want to be condemned on the day of judgment to hell, church? Hello? No. But the Bible says if you are in Christ, then there is what? No condemnation. Romans 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through redemption, that is where? In Christ. So redemption is also where? In Christ. So we have seen that there is no condemnation in Christ, and that our redemption is where? In Christ as well, church. Now, and then it said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which also causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, church, if you want to live a triumphant and victorious life, then you must also find that in Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. You follow me, church? All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become what? New. Remember, till 25 years ago, I was baptized into Christ. All things passed away, and all things becomes new. Sometimes I go to some office functions. I know preachers sometimes are invited to these functions, brother Mitchell. Say amen, brother Mitchell. And because, you know, I used to live a certain lifestyle. And so the music I've been playing, and I'm at how nice the music sound, brother Mitchell, I'm not moving. Not a muscle. Because the moment I rock, you're going to hear what happened. Preacher, I dance though. Yeah. But Andrew, you know me, I talk about it. Yeah, preach and dance. So guess what I do? I don't move. Don't drink Smirnoff Ice, sir? I said, ah, church. But I'm sure to see, where's your members? I smile about Smirnoff Ice. Where's them? But I'm sure to see your members then. Don't drink Smirnoff Ice? Eh? Some people say that is a Christian drink, you know. You don't know that? Yeah. That's the drink that most Christians... Allow me to tell Paul. Talk the truth. Talk the things, then. Talk the things, then. But it's true, though. So I went to a function at the lecture office one day. I'm there sitting down with my little soda in front of me. And one lady, she come and ask me if you want a Smirnoff ice. I know in my mind, you know, because I don't drink alcohol. That's even an ounce of it I drink. Right? I don't drink no alcohol whatsoever. I'm drinking enough of that 25, 20, 30 years ago. I understand what it means to talk a certain way. So I don't need to experience that anymore. So this lady put this thing in front of me if I could try it because nothing wrong with it. All things have what? Passed away. And sometimes Christians, sometimes we forget that people are looking at us. And the same people that are encouraging us to behave in a certain way, they are the same one going to tear us down the next minute and say, look by you, boy, you're a Christian. All things have passed away. And the old things have become new. And so I try, church, to live that new life in Jesus Christ. Now, how does one get into Jesus Christ? Well, there's a plan that he has laid out for us. You know, the God that we serve in a church, not a fool God. And some people think that God has no sense. But if you are going to build this building, Brother Mitchell, you first of all have to make what? A plan. Now, if you are foolish enough and don't have a plan, it's going to cost you more than you want to spend. So I have a friend that was building his house. And they decided to get a little contractor man and myself, go and want to. Right? And every time I go to the month after month, guess what? He might tear them up, put up something else. And you know what he said to me finally? He said, you know, if I thought it through properly, I would have gotten a plan drawn up. That way, the mason would have something to follow, and it would never cost me as much as it did. You with me, church? So God understands, church, that if he just leave us to do what we want and have no plan for us, church, he understands that it's going to cost too much. And it already cost him his son. What God decided to do, church, is just lay it out for us. That we don't sweat too much, church. We don't hurt up our head too much. He just put it out there for us, church. And so God said, in order to obtain this salvation, in order for us to be saved, church, there is this plan. And the outline for this plan begins, church, with us hearing the word of the Almighty God. Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And so, if the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. So if you want faith in God, it comes by what? Hearing the word of the Almighty God. And so hearing, church, must be viewed as a step towards obedience to the Almighty God. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon it, and it fell not. For it was formed upon what? The rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And when the rain came, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, it fell with a great fall. Church, be careful of what you build, church. Be careful of the foundation that you build on, church. Because some people are building on sand. You know, you have some people live over by Kentire, their church. And they live right along the gully, the riverbed, their church. And the riverbed have what on the church? Sand. The soil are too good in the church. And they build their house right along the riverbed, church. And they feel as if it's going to shine sunshine every single day. Church, you with me, church? So the sun going to shine every single day. But the rains came. The hurricanes came. And many of those houses, church, because they were not built on solid foundation, They were swept away into the river, church. And let me tell you something, church, spiritually now, church. God is saying to us, Jesus Christ is saying to us this morning, tonight, if we are not building that foundation, church, are you a foolish man or a wise man? You know, you call somebody foolish, you know, take offense to it, you know. You know that, church? Yeah, people take offense to the word foolish. You know, don't call me foolish. I want them foolish, so don't call me foolish. But God says, you are foolish if you're not building your spiritual life on a solid foundation. And the solid foundation, church, is to become a doer of the word of God. But merely just hearing, church, is not enough to get us into the plan of salvation, church. Because many people, night after night, Sunday after Sunday, they hear, church. And hearing, church, is not saving them. You know, we are good listeners sometimes, church. You know, we love to come and listen to good speakers. You know, I could sit all day and all and listen to Martin Luther King. Wouldn't you, church? That's like a industry can talk. And then I bring a man called Barack Obama. Man next to him. Just like listen to him. To just talk and talk and talk. And he doesn't listen to him. And sometimes by the time you finish listening, church, and you ask a question, what did he say? We completely forget, but it just sounds good. Yeah. Like the inauguration speech. You know, we sit down there and we listen to him all day. And then CNN cry it and repeat it, we listen again. And the next day they repeat it, Brother Mitchell, we listen again. And nobody else remember one sentence from that speech. But it sounds good, didn't it? Yeah, man, we're in awe. It sounded good. Because we love to listen to good speeches. But that alone, church, will not save us. And after a good lesson, church, sometimes you hear some loud amens. But that alone won't save us, church. And so God says, in addition to hearing, church, you must believe. Believe is important in the church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Believe is important, church. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, some people stop right there at believing, church. And I say, me hear it and me believe it, me see it, me all right. I'm not going to go no step further than that because I don't believe long time, all right. But official get for me, I soon tell you the passage, John chapter 12. And the rest of you, if you have a Bible, turn to John 12, verse 42. John 12, verse 42. Are you there, Brother Fisher? Nevertheless,
mm-hmm. among the chief rulers, yes. also many believed on him.
Yes.
But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him.
No. He says, nevertheless, amongst the chief rulers, many believed on him. Him who? Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Church, did they believe, church? Yeah. They believed on him. And these are not just any ordinary person in the church. These are the chief rulers, the head honcho of the church. It's like the prime minister, church. You preach it and say, you may believe in a book. Because of. And church, you know, sadly, many people reach this point of believing, but because of who? The Pharisees.
But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him.
But because of my wife, I will not confess him. But because of my friend, I will not confess him. But because of what people might think of me, I will not confess him. But is a conjunction, church. And it puts a little stop in where you want to go. And instead of moving from belief to confess, you stop and you say, listen, them people are going to say some things about me now. And I don't want that. And many, many people, they listen to the gospel message, church. And they stop at the belief, church. And they don't move any further because somebody might say something against them. And they stop their church. So I remember my days in the church. When I was studying the word of God. Trying to decide in my little mind. If the dance hall nicer than the church. Church, can you hear me? And I remember my friends saying to me, you can't go on, you know. Because we only like here 6 months. How much years must I have, brother? 25 years. Because you're always going to find somebody, church, put a butt there to discourage you even after you start believing, church. And many people, they hear and they start to believe, but somebody is whispering, and that somebody is being led by the devil. I will stop right there. But even if you believe, church, like these chief rulers, belief alone, still not enough, church. So church, you're here and you believe, but it's still not enough. Because the Pharisees, the chief rulers believe, still not enough. So we have another thing to do, church. After you hear, you believe, it's still not enough. We must change our ways, or what the Bible calls repentance, church. Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise what? Perish. And the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us all, not willing that any should perish, but as all should come to repentance. You see, repentance, church, is that change of mind. And if you're going in that direction, and you decide, hey, I no longer want to go that way. I want to go this direction that God is leading me. It's a turning around, church. A changing of mind. And going in the path, in the direction that God wants to lead you. And so repentance is a good step to take, church, on the pathway of salvation. So you hear, you believe, you repent, but guess what, church? Still not enough. What about a thing God put in a film plan? After all, I get tired of him. I go and share it, and it's still, I mean, I tell you, it's still not enough. But some church would have you to believe. I can stop right there at repentance. You don't have to go any further than that. Just stop at repentance, and you're cool. But then, since as that is not enough, church, it's a thing they call confession. No. That word confession, that confession idea, church, is a very tricky thing in a church. I know when we talk about the Ethiopian and you not read and don't understand. Many of our religious groups, church, they read but they don't understand this confession thing, church. And so they tell their members that you need to get up here and confess all your sins. Why? Sometimes, if I wonder sometimes, if they're truthful and really start confess. I know they not tell everything in the church. I'm going to tell like a piece of it, but you know, make them look too bad. And I'm going to get two lines and then stop right there. So. But can you imagine if we just start list out all the sins then? Well, but I meet you at church all night for days. Yeah, for days we'll be there, you know, waiting for people to lie. And people like Brother Casey, amen, Brother Casey, that might have a longer list than the rest of us. That may take months. That just might take months in a church. But you know what? That's not the confession that the Bible is talking about, church. No, we ought to confess our sins in a different forum. But we're concerned our salvation and getting into the body of Christ. That's not the confession the Bible is talking about. Now, Acts 10 and verse number 32. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me who? Christ, before men. Him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father. Romans 10 verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if we are looking at time to go to Acts chapter 8, we need to have an eunuch where he confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, but other time tonight, church. But listen, church, it's not confessing your sins. It's not doing that, church, no. But even so, church, we have gone down to hearing, to believing, to repent, to confess, and it's still not enough, church. Now we have to be what? Baptized. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one, and had many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free, and have been made to drink into the one Spirit. When you are baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And when we are baptized, Romans chapter 6, we are baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is at that point, church, that the Bible says we are saved. We have received our salvation. Church, some people just stopped at the belief and repentance. And then they say that the baptism is an outward sign of inward grace. And I'm yet for anyone to show me where does that come from in the scriptures. Where do we get this idea that baptism is an outward sign of inward grace and you are baptized to show the world that you are saved? Where do we get that from? Because it's certainly not in this book. Maybe in some other book, but not the book called the Bible. And maybe it's not even in another book. Maybe it's in somebody's head. But I don't want to spend too much time on baptism tonight because that's for tomorrow night. But listen, church. Is there a plan that God has for us? Yes. God has a plan to save us, church. He has that plan. And if you notice in the plan, Brother Mitchell, that everything is about Christ in the plan. Do you know that, church? So how can you say you love Christ but not want to follow His plan? Because if He has laid out this plan for you, you ought to follow the plan. Because anything that He says must be true. He cannot lie. Because He's God. And if he said that His plan is a good thing for us, I cannot question it, church. And church, I don't have to see written literally, dear Brother Mitchell, the plan of salvation. Because if you're looking for those exact words, the plan of salvation, you will never find it. But it doesn't mean it's not there in the church. It's outlined there, church. It's right there. Because sometimes people want to confuse us. So they tell us all kinds of things to confuse us. And tomorrow night we're going to talk about this baptism thing and what I'm trying to confuse you. We're not going to be confused. You know why? And if you are here tonight and you do not understand, a faithful brother or sister here can explain to you what you need to understand. You hear me, church? So don't leave here thinking, feel like you're confused tonight, church. I hope I've been plain enough to you tonight that you're able to understand what the Word of God is saying to you tonight, church. Because Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for your sins. He did what no man else would do for you. Because scarcely would a righteous man die for someone. Would I die for a righteous man? Yet perhaps, church, for a good man would someone even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, God sent Jesus Christ to die for us, church. Church, if we are righteous, Christ would not have died, church. Well, because God recognized that we are still sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. And so every time that we reject the message of God, the gospel, the good news, we are trampling the Son of God underfoot every single time. And God does not want any of us to perish, but all of us could come to repentance. And you have heard the message tonight. And if you are a child of God, and for some reason you have gone astray, you are not living right for God, and you need to change your life and to repent and to confess and allow God to work in your life once more and to remove the barrier from your life, tonight is not thy church. Tonight is that night. But what if you have not yet accepted Christ and you are here tonight? Don't leave here in that state. Don't leave here like that, church. How could you reject someone that loved you as much as Christ did? How could you reject somebody that loved you as much as his Father did? To allow him, and he was obedient enough to come to pay the sacrifice for you. And when they nailed him to the tree, to the cross, church, he could have called 10,000 angels and they could have rescued him, church. They could have pulled out the nails. But he remained there, church. And even when the swords that were pierced in his side, church, he could have called an angel, or God could have just touched the side there, church, and the blood would have stopped, church. But if he did that, church, guess what? We would not be saved tonight, church. Because it is the blood, that blood, church, that today, when we go down into that baptismal grave, church, today, that blood presented in that watery grave of baptism, and that blood, church, continues to wash away our sins. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Is he your God tonight, church? You see, he's only your God if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're in the right relationship with God. And I would never want anyone not to be in Christ. Because the consequence is just too great. The punishment is just too great. You know, sometimes, you know, I was closing my car door once, you know, and I'm closing. And I don't know if it happened to you, you know, but I'm closing the door, and my finger is there. I, up to this day, I don't know how I manage that, you know, because, you know, if you're about to switch it, I just slam the door and wait there and now move it. I just slam on it, you know. Right? The first I feel pain in my life. But if I could cut out the finger, I cut it off. Yeah. If I could cut out that finger, I cut out that finger that day. You know. Just imagine, church. The nails being driven. And he accepted it. Just imagine, church, that he didn't have to do it because he did no wrong. But he did it anyway. Just for you. Are you coming tonight? Why not come tonight as we stand and sing?